I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Weekly Planet, official podcast of comicbookmovie.com. My name is James, junior editor at that website. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason. How are you?
Good.
Great.
I decided we'd just play it straight this one. Okay, cool. No jokes, no nothing.
I think we should
don't
do that.
Laugh.
I'm not laughing.
Good.
Was I laughing?
Yeah, don't.
Oh, no, I feel bad.
Check yourself before you wreck yourself.
That's the best advice you've ever given me.
Thank you.
Okay, well,
I've given a lot of good advice.
Solid.
One, don't eat yellow snow. Two.
Maybe do eat yellow
yeah,
snow.
Yeah, there we go. You've learned something. You've remembered. Thank you.
I apologize for my voice as well. I don't know if people can hear, but my voice is ratchet.
Uh-huh.
But I've got this cup of...
What is that?
Well, I stayed up last night making the X-Men review.
Uh-huh.
And I had a little bit of a sore voice before.
Because we were just at the X-Men Days of Future Past premiere.
Were.
Yeah.
And
all the celebrities.
That
Hugh Jackman. Peter Dinklage.
Another
the
person.
The third one, yes. He seems like a nice lady, but I can't remember her name.
Yes. Yeah. Sure, we'll talk about that next week, though.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Because
mm-hmm.
this, Mason, is a different episode this week.
Uh-huh.
We're doing all sorts of shenanigans.
Yep.
We don't want to spoil Days of Future Past for people.
No.
Just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe we'll just drop in a random spoiler.
Absolutely. Anywhere at some point during this episode, we're going to tell you who lives and who dies. Anyway.
Anyway, Mason. The Batman suit. Oh, excuse me if I'm drinking this tea, Mason. Uh-huh. I apologize. Just to you, to nobody else.
All right. Good.
What do you think? The new Batman suit.
Yeah, there was a Zack Snyder released.
That's right. It's only 2 years away.
Yeah, absolutely. He took a photo with his fancy Leica. Was that a Leica cross promotion, do you think?
No doubt.
Because otherwise you wouldn't say.
No,
right?
Why would you? You'd just be like, this is a photo.
He's never paying for a Leica again.
I don't know what that is, though.
It's a fancy camera.
Why can't you just use your phone?
Because then you wouldn't get sweet cross promotion.
Good point.
Anyway, so he released a photo. It's Ben Affleck as Batman.
Yep.
Standing by the Batmobile.
Yep.
Yeah, I really like the suit. I hate the emblem.
Well, yes. We were talking about this briefly the other day. They've clearly taken the emblem from The Dark Knight Strikes Back.
Right.
I mean, Returns.
Uh-huh.
And The Dark Knight Strikes Back. That's the same emblem.
Yeah,
I
don't
know. Because that's the emblem that they used in the Superman, Batman.
But it seems even bigger.
Reveal. It does seem really big. It covers most of his chest.
And I think they've also thought, well, the Superman logo is really big.
Yeah.
He won't be as big a superhero if we don't put the big logo on there.
That's right. Mm. Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, do you like the... It's kind of, looks like kind of a Kevlar-y kind of suit, doesn't
yeah,
it?
I like it.
Like with like the seams. It's a little bit... Who's it? Greg Capullo, who does the new one.
Uh-huh.
And it's a little bit Jim Lee with the short ears. I know you hate the short ears, don't you?
Look, maybe I'll be turned around on the short ears. We'll see, won't we?
This is the first short ears we've had since Batman Adam West.
Really good point.
What do you think of that?
That's, wow, you've, yeah.
You know what I think they should do? And I know it doesn't fit the real world tone. You know, his cowl is kind of malleable, his uh-huh. mask in the comics.
Yeah.
You could make it so it has a little bit of expression. You know, the same way that Rorschach's mask kind of changes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Just a fraction. Do you know what I mean? Because he's got that furrowed brow in it, it looks
That's
like.
That's true, yeah.
But why not have a little bit of expression in there?
Mm. Anyway, I think the costume looks great.
Sure.
It's
gauntlets, belt.
Yep, belt.
Boots.
Seams. Yeah, it looks great.
The cape's connected to the mask.
Yeah, yeah.
And it looks like it's got a bit of freedom and movement, though. Normally when they do that, it's there's no movement there. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it doesn't look like a good cape.
Yeah, yeah.
You know I've had objections with the cape in the past.
Yes.
Mm, yeah.
Yes.
But of course, he does look very kind of dour and sad.
Wow.
In that photo.
Yeah, yeah.
And that has, of course, led to a lot of memes. If you just Google sad Batman, there's a lot of him.
Like he's on a log ride.
He's on a log ride, maybe. You know, he's standing in his kitchen.
Yeah.
But nobody's shown up to his party. You know, there's a lot of those.
He's
so,
standing next to the sad Keanu.
Listeners, if you want to send us your favorites, I would like to see those because I'm always a big fan of sad. Just seeing where sad Batman
sure.
ends up. Yeah.
Also, he's...
If somebody could Photoshop sad Batman with sad Keanu, that would be great.
With prancing Michael Cera?
Yes, definitely, yeah.
Sure.
And prancing Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah. Just bring them all in if you could. Thank you.
Also, they've clearly got, we're going to make this Batman enormous, like the Dark Knight Returns.
Uh-huh.
Because he's like a hulking kind of monster in that comic.
Yeah,
not,
yeah.
Not to say Christian Bale's one isn't a big Batman, but he looks like a much bigger... like wider Batman.
That's very true, yeah.
So yeah,
is Ben Affleck a wider man than Christian Bale?
I'd say he's probably broader. I don't know if he's wider. But I think there's a bit of padding there. People say that maybe that's all him or whatever. I think there'd have to be some padding in there.
Uh-huh.
But you know,
the Batmobile,
yeah,
like we don't really see a lot of it.
We saw the back and there were some concept models released.
The concept
also.
Art, it looks more like, and it looks like that concept art is real and that's what they've gone with.
Yeah.
It looks kind of like a, some sort of skiff.
Yeah.
Like a float, like a land speeder, like a Star Trek land speeder
kind
of thing.
Yeah, yeah. It looks a bit Tumblr-esque as well at the back with the big chunky wheels and whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, well, it remains to be seen what the whole thing looks like.
Only 2 years to go, folks, and we'll see what it looks like. Fantastic.
Is it too early?
A lot of
this?
People are saying it looks like the Gotham Knight Batmobile.
From the trailer, fair enough. I can see that.
Mm.
Yeah. Well, yeah, 2 years though. It's a long time. Is it too early?
Yes. It really is.
I'm hoping, and it's not going to happen. They go, you know what? We're going to put it out in 2015. We've changed our mind and whatever. And that has never, ever happened.
It's absolutely never happened. Yeah. They'd be breaking the mold if they did it.
Yeah, that's it. But, you know. Don't let your dreams be dreams, I say, Mason.
Uh-huh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
All right. Also, Mason, I don't know if you've heard this, but an offer has been made to Harrison Ford to return to the Blade Runner franchise. Well, Blade Runner movie for the Blade Runner sequel.
Uh-huh.
Blade Runnering.
I can't believe we're doing more Blade Runnering. Okay.
If he is a replicant...
Yes.
Ridley Scott says that he is. Harrison Ford says that he isn't.
Uh-huh.
I don't think... Harrison Ford probably knows or cares.
Yeah, absolutely.
But does that mean the replicants age? Or his style of replicant ages?
What if they creepily de-age him? X-Men 3 style. How about that?
That would be pretty
great. Yeah. All right, so what's the plot? Because there's only ever been one... There was Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep?
Yep. And it turns out they do.
Absolutely.
Spoiler alert.
The story, which is not really... Like, it's quite different from the movie.
Yeah.
And then... There was just the movie. There was a couple, you know, heaps of different directors' cuts and edits.
Yep.
And there's been some sequel books.
Isn't Soldier set in the same universe?
It is set in the same universe. Yeah, yeah, it is. Yeah. So there's also been Soldier. I apologize. But there's been, I think there was two or three sequel novels.
Okay.
So I don't know. Does it give us any clue as to whether they're adapting those or?
I don't think
or
so.
Or is the Blade Runner novel universe non-canon now? It's been bad luck for Harrison Ford and canonical book spin-offs, hasn't
they've
it?
They're going to wedge that in the Star Wars Expanded Universe, just in the same canon, because who cares, you know? Just
absolutely.
Wedge them together.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't think there's any word on it. I think the only thing is, like, the company responsible, I think it's Alcon Entertainment, is like, it's a great story. What a great time to renew the franchise.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Like, that's pretty much it.
Uh-huh.
And I believe them.
Yeah. Do you think they can say any more? You know, the themes of what it means to be human and stuff like that.
Hmm.
Do you think they kind of said it all in the first one?
They said a lot of it.
Hmm.
Maybe they're going to say something else.
They might say something else, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Now, Mason, this has been a big week for finales of comic book shows.
Sure.
Did you watch the season finale of Arrow?
It's on my iPad right here, but I haven't watched it.
I've
been real busy.
I also haven't. No, I don't. I didn't watch it either. Because on Thursday we went and saw Godzilla. Friday we saw X-Men. We're now doing this on Saturday.
Two movies in a week.
Yeah.
That's insanity.
Too much.
Mm.
It's too much classic, good old-fashioned entertainment.
Isn't it, though?
So I'm looking forward to it. I heard it's a pretty good finale.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't really have any opinion on it other than it was a pretty good season as of so far. Unless they botch up the finale, in which case, what a terrible season.
Yep. Way to take all that potential and throw it all away. Good work at the CW.
I did watch the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. finale, though.
Uh-huh, yep.
And that was pretty good.
Uh-huh.
It definitely got stronger. I'm looking forward to what they do next season. They've replaced mild spoiler alert, I guess, Grant with a equally bland other guy.
Now, Grant was Jake Chisel.
Jake Chisel, sorry.
Thank you. I've no idea.
That's how much I've grown to invest myself in the show, basically.
You know the character's
name now. I remembered
his
name.
Wow.
So, yeah. I would say check it out, Mason, or, you know, just watch The Arrow.
I'll probably just do that, yeah.
You're doing that now.
No, actually, what I'm doing is because I... somebody pointed out, or so I read like the first sentence of a Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. recap recently.
Okay.
And they said that people are being pursued by Deathlocks.
Yes.
He's a recurring... Is it J. August Richard is playing?
Yeah, but there's also... There's kind of a Deathlock program. There's been a few Deathlocks.
Do they look good?
Well, they look good, and sometimes they'll get you in a Deathlock. So they got two things from the comics.
Wow.
Yeah, they look... You know what? Pretty good. Pretty good for TV.
Is this it?
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
He doesn't look very Deathlocky.
Well, do you want me to draw on the iPad?
And if you could, yeah, thank you, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, I guess he's
I want something. I want like a half... Does one of them have a half a face? The robot
face? Oh, it's not Deathlocks in that sense. It just means there's been a few over time, and he's like the latest one.
But is there one with a half a face with the robot face?
No, he's got the scarred half face and a robot eye.
Well, that's okay. All right, fair enough.
But it just looks like a regular eye.
Ah!
Namor actually wrote in, the real Namor from Atlantis, which they say that Universal is going to make a movie of. They say they're gearing up for it. That was a rumor this week, because they're like, we've got a big property coming. Mm-hmm. Hold your horses, we'll tell you later. But he wanted to know what our thoughts are on The Walking Dead, both comic and TV show. We haven't talked much about it. Mm-hmm. I'm a bit behind on the comics, and I've watched all the episodes of Walking Dead. You haven't seen...
I'm 100% behind on both comic and... TV series.
I'd like to do one.
Although once I played the, I was away with some friends and we played the Walking Dead board game.
That must have been a really good weekend away.
It was great except for the Walking Dead board game, which was awful.
Well, they say the...
Also, I was on a winery tour and so I was quite drunk and it's a really complicated game.
I bet it is.
No, don't.
Do you roll the dice to get points to
you
get hits?
You roll so many dice. So many dice and so many tokens. You got to collect so many little... Like little resource, little badge things.
Sounds like going to work.
This was a lot like going to work.
You know what also sucks?
My job is a Walking Dead board game playtester, so... What sucks besides the Walking Dead board
Monopoly.
Game? Listen, I apologize if your favorite board game is the Walking Dead board game. Please don't email in saying give it a chance. I'm not going to give it a chance.
I don't like board games. Hmm. In general, not a fan. Especially Monopoly, because it brings out the worst in people and it goes forever and it sucks.
Uh-huh.
And you've got to have that real killer instinct to win.
Right.
You know what I mean? Be a real prick.
I am
a real prick, but I'm also lazy.
Yeah, I know. I'm more of a fan of Monopoly now. Like, I haven't played it in a while, but I imagine I would be more of a fan of it now. Because you can just do other stuff while Monopoly is happening.
Oh, okay.
You
just
buy stuff on the internet, you know, while it's happening.
Good point.
Tweet, Facebook update, you know.
Maybe we should do a Monopoly episode.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, when they do... Lego Monopoly, the movie, the video game. We'll review that. We'll do a whole episode on it.
Yeah. My brother had a copy of the Star Wars Monopoly game on computer, and it cheated.
Hmm.
Like the computer would roll exactly what it needed every time.
That is fascinating. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Mm. It's like playing against your dumbass brother who cheats, which is my brother.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you play a StarCraft or something like that and there's the fog of war and you don't know where everything is, but the computer does. Like it obviously knows where everything is.
Yeah.
Into talking about board games.
Yeah.
I've started receiving, because, you know, Facebook seems to learn everything about you even if you don't tell it anything.
Well, I've been emailing them on your behalf.
Oh, thank you about all the things that I like. Yes. I keep getting ads in my Facebook feed for Marvel Chess.
Oh, really?
It's a Marvel Chess set. But it's one of those ones where you...
have to know how to play chess.
Well, it's that, but also it's like a subscription thing where you know, the first one's like $2 and you get the board and you're like, oh, this is a pretty good bargain. And then every piece, like you buy a piece a week and it's like $20 or something.
Oh my God. Yeah, it's the heroine of board games.
It's the heroine of board games. Exactly. Yeah.
But
They get you hooked. You're like, oh, I can move this. You're there and you're dark empty room just with a board and like one pawn like it's Daredevil and you're like, oh, I can move this one space at a time. Oh, this is exciting.
It's just chess. Yeah. You know what I mean? I don't understand what's the appeal. I guess it's a collector's thing, I guess.
Yeah. They seem to be die-cast. They're lead-free die-cast miniatures. So.
Okay. Mm. Well, in answer to that Namor's initial question, though, we will do a Walking Dead episode one on the comic
show.
Will
I have to watch
some
of the Walking Dead?
Sure, you can do that.
I'll read some of the Walking Dead.
Sure,
I can do
absolutely.
That.
And as for the show, I think it's okay. I think it squanders a lot of the material from the comic, but I think it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the episode.
Fantastic.
We mostly talked about board games. So.
Yeah.
Now, Mason.
Yes.
Since we're talking about movie to comic TV, no.
We were talking about Marvel Chess, all right? It's what this episode is going to continue to be about.
We're talking about...
Guess who the White King is?
The Snoke, the Emma Frost.
I think it's Captain America. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And Captain Marvel is the White Queen.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, that's
it's fascinating. Really, that's really all something. I can remember. Anyway, continue. What are we talking about?
Well, we're talking about comics to TV, I guess.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. We just saw a trailer this week, a 5-minute extended promo for The Flash.
Yeah, we did.
So, are you excited for The Flash movie? Shut up, idiot. You're not getting it. What do you think of the TV show?
It looks pretty good.
Okay.
But I've said that before. I've said that before, but then again, I enjoy Arrow, so...
Yeah.
Mm. And I like that guy. I think in the 2 episodes we saw of him in Arrow, he acquitted himself quite well. He's a likable character.
He is, yeah.
We've seen a couple of the support characters in Arrow.
Yep.
Since then, they've sort of done a little cross promotion.
Little wacky team.
Yeah, they've tested out the wacky team to see if people enjoy the wacky team.
Yeah.
And presumably, if nobody did, they'd replace him with additional
wacky
team. Wacky team. They'd replace him Ellen style, where her wacky friends in season 1 were replaced by different wacky friends in season 2.
They all died, right?
Yeah,
that's
they
how
died.
They did
yeah.
It. Yeah,
yeah. Okay, Ellen killed them all.
Also got Ed from TV shows Ed.
Yeah, it does, yeah.
Tom Cavanagh?
Tom Cavanagh.
Tim Cavanagh.
Also part of Mike and Tom Eat Snacks, which is a podcast where Tom Cavanagh and Michael Ian Black from the TV series Ed eat snacks and rate the snacks.
Are you serious?
It's a great podcast.
That's amazing.
You should listen to it.
I love both those guys.
I don't know if they've done it recently. I haven't listened to it recently, but it's super fun.
Sure.
Mm. What else? It's a show about a man with superhuman speed. So the superhuman speed effect has to look pretty good.
Yep.
And it looks okay.
Yeah.
So
I thought the same thing.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I think they've kind of, they've done the right thing to kind of throw some lightning and some blur kind of and some smoky kind of stuff.
I know we're not going to talk about Days of Future Past.
We are not.
But there's some, we know Quicksilver's in that. Without any spoilers, Quicksilver is in that.
Yeah.
The super speed effects in that are pretty spectacular.
Yes. Mm. We mocked it, Mason.
We certainly mocked his outfit, and I will continue to mock his outfit.
That
when we do the episode where we talk about it, I'm going to mock his outfit in the future, but it's a really good super speed effect.
I completely agree. Mm. 48 frames per second, that one, Mason.
Oh, there you go. Hobbit style?
Hobbit style.
Hobbit style, great. Yeah. Remember those super speed effects in The Hobbit?
I remember. We were sitting right in the front row as well. If we
remember
watched
when
that...
the Silmarillion does a super speed jump? I don't know what that means. I don't know any of that means.
We were sitting in the very, very front row.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
If that had been in 3D, we would have vomited.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. On one another, on the people sitting next to us.
Yep.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We also saw... Oh, so Flash trailer. Looks pretty good, I guess.
Looks pretty good.
He's not blonde, Mason. Isn't he supposed to be blondie or brown hair guy? Or light brown? That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, okay, fine.
That's all I'm saying. You can't have two blonde guys,
I'm warming
though.
To the costume. Yeah, exactly. I'm warming to the costume. I still don't love it.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
Maybe in motion will look really great.
Yeah. Okay. You saw it in motion.
Yeah.
Did you see that concept art for the... Not concept art, but there was video released for the Flash video game. He could really flash in that. His balls. But also run really fast. Looked... okay. Go to comicbookmovie.com, Mason. Check it out.
Okay.
Yeah. There was also a trailer, Mason, for Interstellar, which we actually saw at the Days of Future Past.
We did
see
that, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know we said we weren't going to talk about Days of Future Past, but we have.
So an awful lot, yeah.
Yeah. What did you think of Interstellar? Was there enough corn and sadness?
There was a
trailer?
Lot of corn and sadness, certainly. There was a lot of people being zipped up into water-filled baggies.
Yeah.
Look, I'm not impressed yet.
Yep.
What have we seen? We haven't seen anything.
I remember seeing the Inception trailer and being like, I have no idea what that's about, but wow.
Exactly, but I don't...
Spinny room.
Exactly, spinny room. He's fighting a guy in a spinny room. I thought they looked great, yeah?
Yeah.
But so far I've got nothing on this.
Me too.
Look, I have a certain amount of faith in Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
I liked Memento and Inception and other films that he's done.
Yep.
But...
The one with Al Pacino and Robin Williams, where Robin Williams is a serial killer. Insomnia.
Oh.
It sucks.
Okay, I haven't seen it. Yeah, I don't know. I have faith in it that it will be good on some level, but I'd like to see something.
Sure.
That isn't just we're going into space.
Maybe we're saving the planet. Maybe we're going to another planet.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'm glad Matthew McConaughey's in it, though. He's a sweet, sweet dude.
Uh-huh.
And he seems really chill.
He does seem really chill. Even when the Earth is at stake, he's real chill.
And also, Mason, I guess we should talk about the brand new Transformers trailer. You love Optimus Prime's new look.
No, I don't. We've discussed this. He looks like they've teased this with the cartoon truck version of him.
Yes.
But then we see the new trailer and he's back to being weird Hot Rod Flames guy with the extended engine cab thing and blah-bitty-blah.
And as we've discussed,
I don't like it.
And as we've discussed before, though, the reason they didn't do it that way originally because there's not enough bulk in that truck.
Right. Except for the trailer.
Yes, except for the trailer and the fact that there are Transformers in this universe that can increase and decrease their mass.
Exactly.
Including that giant cube.
The giant cube in the first film, yeah, exactly. Which decreased its mass quite significantly.
So much so that even Shia LaBeouf could carry it.
And he's weak as piss. Anyway, that's back. We'll discuss. Let's talk about the trailer. Looks good, but they look. I like Stanley Tucci. We see a lot more. No, that's okay. It's fine.
We do see the Tooch.
We see the Tooch. He's looking good.
I call him the Golden Tooch.
Yeah, because he's got the Golden Tooch.
You
know, he's got the Midas Tooch.
Sorry, I haven't had a lot of sleep.
No, that's all right. Yeah, we still don't really know what's happening in the film.
No,
it's probably for the best.
Well, that the Transformers are outlaws.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh.
Is Galvatron Gunface?
I guess Galvatron is Gunface, yeah.
Why doesn't he just have a gun? Wouldn't it be easier?
Yeah.
Because then you have to change your face into a gun. Then you're faceless.
Yep, true.
I mean, I don't know much, Mason, but I know that's stupid.
It's kind of stupid, isn't it? You couldn't kiss your kids. Did you leave for work? Are you afraid you'd shoot their face off?
So, yeah, I think... Yeah. I think that's the news for this week, Mason.
Yeah, hang on. Something else happened in the Transformers.
Look, I watched it yesterday or the day before. I don't know. It's fine.
Yeah, it's fine.
There's the giant lizard again.
Again, it looks like they've learned their lesson. All the characters are like distinctly colored now, so you can tell them apart. But I still have a feeling that when we go in, most of the action's going to be nonsensical.
Yes.
Because there seems to be a lot of human action in the trailer. There's a lot of people like running and fist fighting, but not a lot of actual Transformers.
You know what I would love to see? Mm-hmm. This is in the Transformers movie. They're like human Transformer suits. So you put on the Transformer suit and you can transform into a car.
Uh-huh.
It's a human suit that transforms into a car, but it doesn't break your bones.
Right, okay. Like, that would be the kicker there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wouldn't you like to see that?
That'd be good, yeah.
Because that hasn't been done, I don't think.
That's true.
So yeah. So we got Mighty Morphin Power Rangers coming. We got Transformers coming. We got those two things coming.
Great. That's a year for us.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Well, Mason, it's time to move forward.
Okay.
With our lives.
Let's talk about... Okay. All right. We're quitting this podcast. Becoming accountants.
That's right. Mm-hmm. For serious.
Yeah.
Let's get serious. Godzilla. We saw that on Thursday night.
We did. We sure did.
Thank you for picking me up and then going to see that.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
That's right.
I read the prequel comic Godzilla Awakening, because I'm not as familiar with the Godzilla story.
Hang on, are we reviewing this or are we discussing it?
What's the difference?
Like spoilers? We spoilering
this. Okay, how about we go general thoughts.
Okay.
And then bam.
Okay.
Because there's really not a lot you can talk about without spoiling.
But at the same time, this is another one of those films where it's sort of spoiler proof.
Mm.
There's not really...
Yeah.
We know where it's going to end up.
That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Godzilla becomes an accountant.
He gets on with his life. Yeah.
But yeah, I read the prequel comic Godzilla Awakening before, which tells a very similar story to the movie.
Well, I was going to say you explained the prequel story to me, and it does seem...
And then it happened.
it sort of was a rehash. It was sort of like the events in the past happen.
Mm.
Godzilla battles some things.
Yep.
Movie starts. It's essentially the retread, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much.
Would you prefer, if people could only do one thing, would they spend $12 on the prequel comic book?
Yep.
Or they spend $20 at the movies?
I think you've got to go to the movies.
You've got to go to the movies. Exactly. Yeah. That was a trick question. If you'd said prequel comic book, I would have said you're an idiot. Because as we know, comic books are for nerds.
That's right. It's not a bad prequel comic by any stretch, but I will say that it is not required reading by any stretch.
Is it in Japanese manga style?
No.
That's disappointing.
I can resketch it if you want.
Thank you. I sort of pictured it in sort of black and white, kind of.
No, not
because
at all.
The Cloverfield prequel comic was manga style.
Really?
Yeah.
Ah. Wasn't the secret in Cloverfield that there was a monster?
That was the secret. Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
they got us.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is expecting though a $90 million opening weekend.
Is that good? I don't. I've lost all track.
Well, it's weird because it's bad for Spider-Man because Spider-Man cost a lot.
Right.
But also the reason why it affects Spider-Man so badly. Mm-hmm. Speaking of Spider-Man, Max Landis tweeted that thing about Spider-Man and maybe it's gone back to Marvel and blah, blah, blah.
News. Mm. What was his source?
Well, I don't know. Well, he's in the industry, I guess. That's,
but then he said, didn't he say, oh, something Spider-Man, something, and he's like, oh, I shouldn't have tweeted that.
Yeah.
So it's maybe just lies.
It could be. Yeah, yeah, exactly. I'm not really fussed. But look, you know what? If it did go back at this point, just quickly on Spider-Man, even if Spider-Man, I think that it's going to hit 600 million worldwide or something like that. Oh, it's about to hit 600 million, which is a lot. But Spider-Man, Sony don't get the rights to anything else other than the movie. So any toys, games, comics, anything else associated goes to Marvel.
Goes to Marvel. Interesting.
So maybe if every Spider-Man movie is going to make less and less from now on, maybe they are looking to sell it.
You were saying this is potentially the most expensive movie of all time? Is that?
That was X-Men.
That was X-Men. Never mind then.
Second,
okay.
But Spider-Man, in marketing alone, I don't know if you saw any of the marketing material, Mason.
No. No.
Really?
Oh, like the trailers and such.
The trailers and on the sides of the buses and the ads and the video games. And that time Emma Stone harassed you in the street.
Yeah, that was weird, wasn't it? Yeah. Yeah. See my movie, she said. And I'm like, oh, which one? You're quite prolific. Ah, congratulations on getting so much work. And she's slapping me. It's weird. So well, what they say is, don't they say that a movie will cost, say, $250 million and then the marketing will be about equal to that?
That's what
so everything's, $250 million, really a half a billion dollar movie.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're right. So if this movie costs $300 million, and maybe it did, that's $600 million all up.
Yeah.
If it made $600 million, it broke even.
Yes. I mean, but then you got Blu-ray sales.
Right.
I guess. So that's something.
Digital downloads.
Yes.
Yep.
As we all love that thing. Yeah. But, I mean, it's the same... You know, I don't want to talk about Spider-Man.
No, exactly. We're done with it.
I've had enough.
It's done for a few years. Let's stop talking about Spider-Man.
Yeah, yeah. I think the only thing that we could get Spider-Man back on board is if they do something different. Maybe it'll be the Sinister Six movie.
Yeah, yeah.
With Spider-Man. Or maybe you're gonna have to team up with somebody else.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it'll be Gotham style. It'll be Peter Parker, the TV series, where he doesn't have any powers and he's a nerd.
I want Ben Parker, the TV series, about his boring dad.
Yeah, absolutely.
For some
reason,
the focus.
You know what would be great?
It'd be Ben Parker.
It's
Richard Parker. Sorry.
Right. Okay, no, that's all right. I would like to see Uncle Ben, the TV series, where he gets into unnecessary scrapes all the time. Like in the style of Spider-Man, where he just intervened for no reason and got shot.
Yeah.
Like, it'd just be a series of that, like, every week. Like, somebody would be rude to a cashier at a supermarket and be like, hey, you!
And you think this is the week.
You think this is the week, but he gets through every week by the skin of his teeth. He doesn't die. But we say maybe it's set in a parallel universe, so maybe he could die.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, let's stop talking about Spider-Man for a
while. Yeah, let's do it. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, with Godzilla, though, Mason, did it meet your expectations? But I've presumed there that you had any expectations.
You know, it did. The difficulty with this kind of movie is that I don't know what I want with it, kind of thing.
Yep. 'Cause
it's not, like, it's not, I don't have a huge investment in Godzilla of the past.
Neither.
I've seen the first one and snippets of some of the others, I think.
Yeah.
And, like, with a comic book movie, I know how I want the character to be portrayed. I want to know how, like, I have specific ideas about how, what characterization I want.
Yep.
You know, what storylines I want to see, that sort of thing.
You do? You've got thoughts on texture?
I do have thoughts on texture, costume, and so forth. But with this, I don't really have anything. So I think all I wanted it to be was better than the 1998 Godzilla film, and it was.
Yep.
Much better.
It was much better.
Yeah.
Infinitely better. You didn't think that maybe it was a little bit slow?
Well, it was a little bit slow.
That's a common complaint.
Yeah, I think... Is it spoilery to say how long it took before Godzilla appeared?
No. You know what? Let's just say... Let's just spoil from now on.
Okay, good.
Like you said, you can't really spoil.
No, exactly. Look, it was probably an hour before Godzilla appeared.
Yeah.
But at the same time, do you want Godzilla to appear in the first 5 minutes and then just have him smashing stuff for 2 hours?
Yeah, good
you
point.
Do?
Oh, not, you know. Oh, no, no, yeah, yeah. Not really, no. Not
you want you want a certain amount of anticipation, you want a certain amount of build-up, right?
That's
because
right.
Otherwise, you know,
I guess
weird. And he's kind of a one-trick pony.
He is.
He smashes stuff for a bit and then he stops smashing stuff,
for
right?
For a bit.
Yeah, for a bit.
Yeah, fair point. But for me, I wasn't necessarily bored. But I didn't find the human characters that engaging.
No,
again,
it was very...
spoiler alert, Bryan Cranston dies like 20 minutes in.
Right.
He gets Godzilla'd?
No, he gets...
Evil Godzilla'd. The Evil Godzilla's game.
Yeah, he gets Evil Godzilla'd. But Yeah, the human, there's all the, because it's really quite difficult. I don't know if about you, but for me, it's quite difficult to relate to a several hundred story tall giant monster that just smashes the city. Like, we've all been there, but very rarely. And so we have to relate to the human story.
Yeah.
And the human story in these films is always very dull.
What did you say that, like, you, the least surprising thing was when it turned out that his wife was a nurse?
Because it's always a nurse, right?
Yeah.
She's always a nurse or maybe a teacher.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And she's got to look after some kids or some wounded or something like
that. Yeah, absolutely.
And they get separated by time and distance.
Yep.
And he's got to get back to her. Like, it's fine, but...
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's pretty standard.
I thought the shame of it was that Bryan Cranston's son, as the kid, was probably the least annoying kid character I've seen in a film. But he only gets about 5 minutes of screen time, and then he becomes an adult. And then we've got to deal with his wiener kid.
Yeah, that's
right. His dumb wiener kid, who I thought was much more annoying.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
He had a little weird little face.
Yeah, yeah. They should have gotten that dumb wiener kid to be Aaron Taylor Johnston's child self, and then had the other kid be his actual child.
The non-wiener kid.
Yeah, the non-wiener kid in the present. Yeah.
Did you think it was odd
that,
similar to Jaws 4, The Revenge, the destruction of Godzilla and the monsters who Godzilla fights followed Aaron Taylor Thompson around, whatever his name is, like Jaws, The Revenge?
Yeah, it was a little weird.
Like, wherever he went,
that
monster who, what's the Muto, the bad one?
Muto, yeah.
Would be there.
But technically he was chasing them.
Not really, because he went back to San Francisco to save his wife or whatever.
Oh, and it went to San Francisco, yeah.
And it went to San Francisco, and he's like, I'm gonna go to the airport with this Japanese boy or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And then that thing happens to come across his path.
Uh-huh.
Like, it just keeps happening.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
All right, so I think we've decided. Characterization, not good. Storyline, probably not good. Let's talk about other stuff, though.
I didn't mind Jaws 4. I know people say
let's not talk about Jaws 4. Okay, let's...
You know what I thought was really amusing?
What's that?
It was a letdown, but it was a funny letdown when Godzilla first faces the Muto in the city, and you're like, this is going to be incredible.
Mm-hmm.
And then all they do is show brief news clips of this incredible battle.
That's true,
And then afterwards they're like, that was pretty full on. Did everybody see the battle? And that's it.
Yeah,
like,
we didn't.
No.
You know what, though? If we're talking effect, let's talk about Godzilla.
Yeah.
He looks incredible.
Absolutely.
And bold choice. In his first appearance, it's daytime.
Yeah.
That's never happened before.
No.
They wouldn't have dared to do that in 1998 because he would have looked like...
Much worse than he did.
He would have looked like an N64 character, like a sprite.
Just all polygons.
Yeah, all polygons, exactly.
Face of Super Mario.
But they were like, look, we have faith in this,
this
computer-generated thing.
Yep.
Let's put it out there in the daytime, and it looked really good.
And you know what? And I think you know what helped with that. Oh, we did mention as well the other day that the CGI water—it's not there, is it?
Still haven't done it. I don't understand.
You can still. I mean, water's hard to replicate.
I guess
I've tried
yeah.
to replicate it. I've drawn this picture.
Oh, it's pretty good.
Thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he himself looked incredible, and I think what helped was a lot of the time you would see him from the ground perspective or where the humans were standing. Like there wasn't a lot of until the end. Shots where you pull right back and you see him.
Mm-hmm.
So you really got a sense of scale.
Yep.
He is enormous.
Uh-huh.
Like, in the other Godzilla, he seemed to change size.
He did, yeah.
And he probably didn't change size, but it felt that way because sometimes it pulled right back and sometimes it's in and sometimes he's right next to Matthew Broderick or whatever.
Right, exactly, yeah.
You know?
That's true, yeah.
Like, the bit where he comes out from under the bridge, the San Francisco bridge.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And he's just enormous.
Exactly.
Looks
yeah.
incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they got the Godzilla scream right.
They absolutely
did.
That
was pretty intense.
You do a pretty good Godzilla scream, don't you?
That's it, right?
Nailed it.
Yeah, thank
yeah.
you. What about the Muto?
Yeah, look, I didn't think that design was that interesting of a monster.
But
comparatively, he was less impressive than Godzilla, but I guess that's the idea.
I think, and also I think that he'd faced off against another dinosaur.
Yeah.
Type creature. That wouldn't have been that interesting.
Yeah, you're right.
I think they sought, or another kind of humanoid shaped thing.
Yeah.
I think they had to go with, you know, additional arms and legs and wings and kind of, you know, creepy alien-esque kind of thing. Like, he did strike me as, he struck me as a combination of the Cloverfield monster.
Yeah.
And, well, we've just had Pacific Rim.
We have.
And it was odd, I thought, that he had an electromagnetic pulse weapon. And that was a huge plot point of the last one, is of Pacific Rim, is that one of the monsters developed an electromagnetic pulse
weapon. That's right.
Yeah.
That's exactly
it. And I think we did discuss this.
Yeah, I know what you're going to say, yeah.
It's one of the first movies, I think, where somebody has employed an EMP,
yeah,
and nobody has had to explain to us, the dumb, dumb audience, what an EMP is.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an electromagnetic pulse. It produces an electromagnetic pulse.
Within a certain radius.
And that disrupts all electronic devices within a certain range. Right.
That would mean we'd lose all the computers and communications.
Yeah.
Yes, that's why it's a problem for us.
Yes. We know it. We know that's a thing now. Like, as the movie going public as a whole, we know that's what it does because we've seen dozens of movies where
First time I was exposed to that in a movie was Ocean's 11.
Yep.
And I went, I immediately get that.
Yeah, yeah. I'll never need to have that explained to me ever again. But then, you know what? And again, I've said this. If they're going to explain an EMP in a movie, they should say, look, it's an electromagnetic pulse. It breaks down. It shuts down computer systems, like in all those movies you've seen where somebody uses an EMP. And then the people in the movie would go, oh, that's right. I live in the world. I've seen those movies. I get it now. But yeah, like we saw how it worked.
Yep.
It was implied how it worked. Mm. You know, and it's interesting. They didn't necessarily talk down to us throughout the course of the movie.
No.
Like when the female Muto gets pregnant.
Yeah.
We see that it's has some sort of egg sac.
Yeah.
They don't go, oh, it's going to give birth to lots more of those monsters.
That's a really good point.
It's going to overwhelm the world. I certainly hope Godzilla destroys this thing because otherwise we're all in a lot of trouble and it will cause our extinction. Right? We get it.
Yeah.
We see how much damage three monsters can do.
Yep.
We know.
We've seen aliens. We know what a nest of monsters
We know what a nest of monsters is. We know that if there were hundreds of them, they'd probably destroy us all.
Yeah.
So we get it. We understand the stakes. We don't have to explain the stakes.
Really good point.
Yeah.
Wow.
Thank you.
This movie's maybe better than I realized.
Yeah, I know,
now
right?
Now that I talk about it. Not that I didn't enjoy it at the time. I absolutely did.
Uh-huh.
Now, what I found really odd.
Yes.
Not odd. Maybe you could. This is something that I found amusing. At the end of the movie, Godzilla and the Muto fight in San Francisco. And they batter it to dust.
They do.
Like, there is very little left.
Yep.
And then when Godzilla does the thing where he kills him, which we'll talk about in a bit.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's a whole other thing. He leaves the city and everybody cheers.
That's true.
But if I was there, I'd be like,
what happened?
You had a big hand in that.
What
just happened then? You are equally big as the other one. Why are we cheering for you?
Exactly. We don't.
They don't know that other one laid eggs. And...
Yeah, in order to cheer for Godzilla, everybody in San Francisco would have had to have all the military intelligence that we had seen to know that Godzilla was hunting the monsters to stop them.
Yes.
But they don't know that.
No.
As far as they know, three giant monsters have shown up and have just flattened the city. You're right. Yeah. Let's talk about destruction, though.
But as you said, though, if Superman can flatten a city and be called a hero,
that's true.
Why can't Godzilla?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. That's very true. If we're talking about destruction, good, solid destruction.
Great.
What I thought was interesting is that a lot of people died.
Yes.
Like, it wasn't a case of everybody got to shelters very quickly.
Some people got to shelters.
A few people got to shelters. There's a scene in Hawaii where Godzilla comes out of the depths and in order to take on these monsters. And I thought that was good where physics took effect, where he got out, he came out of the ocean and it caused a tidal wave.
Yeah.
But it was interesting, I thought, that the little girl sees that the monsters, you know, the Godzilla's arriving.
Yeah.
Her and her mum and dad run away.
Yeah.
They get in like a hotel, they get in like a store, they close the door, and then we just see the tidal wave just batter hundreds of people, presumably to death. Like, there's no way all those, it just swooshes past this tidal wave. And it just gathers hundreds of people up in its wake. They all drowned or were crushed to death. There's no way out for those people.
Yeah. Maybe they all survived because everybody cheered at the end.
Oh, that's a really good point. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I thought it was interesting as well. Yeah, yeah. There was a dog that broke its lead and escaped.
Yep. Uh-huh.
And I thought, oh my God, they're going to kill the dog. But you don't see the dog die. So they didn't break the cardinal rule.
You can't kill a dog. You can kill lots of people,
yeah,
but not a dog.
Many people as you want.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Also, did you notice with Godzilla, compared to the other monster, when it would land or go through something, it would just swat a building aside, or land on top of it and crumble the top of it. Godzilla would carefully like tiptoe around the building.
That's true. He would never destroy a building unless he was being thrown into a building.
Yeah,
yeah, that's a good point. Yeah,
so he's a better person than Superman.
He's a real gentleman.
You should have had a big bow tie. Don't
Absolutely,
you think?
Yeah.
Or little compared to him, but
yeah, you know what I mean.
Sure. The atomic breath, though. I know one of your things going in was like, I only want to see the atomic breath. Nothing else matters.
Because as we know, and if you haven't seen the 1998 Godzilla, a classic Godzilla from the Japanese version has sort of an atomic fire laser breath.
Yeah.
Like, that's an iconic part of him. All the spines on his back light up, and then he breathes this fire.
Yeah.
And in the 1998 Godzilla, we were sort of, we see him breathe fire in the trailer.
Yeah.
And then when we go in, there's no fire breath. He just screams really hard near a gas main, and there's some fire. And it was bitterly disappointing, and I hate everyone involved in that film. But in this one, he's got it. It's back.
He's totally
what
got
is
it.
Interesting, I keep saying, maybe these things aren't interesting. They're interesting to me. Sure. Maybe not to our listeners, but whatever. I'm not here for them. No, I am. That we don't get any foreshadowing that he can do that.
No.
If you never, like, we all know that he can do that because it's Godzilla.
Sure.
But I assume there are millions of people out there who have no concept of what Godzilla is.
No.
You would be completely taken aback by that.
Yeah.
Like, you see the spines light up about, 20 seconds before that happens. But I feel there should have been some sort of foreshadowing earlier on in the film.
Yeah.
So we know he can do that.
Like an EMP style.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
Okay, that's a fair point, because I guess, for us, we just assume that he would do that.
Yeah.
But yeah, being that he is just a lizard.
Right.
Essentially, why can he do that?
Yeah.
So yeah, that's a good point. But it was really, I thought it was really awesome though, especially the way that he killed that last one. For those who haven't seen it, he pries open its mouth and atomic breaths
down its throat, until the tendons of its neck sort of burn away, and then he tears its head off and drops it in a San Francisco Bay.
Like a champ.
Like a champion, yeah. Exactly.
And that was incredible.
Mm.
So, yeah.
What I thought interesting, I'm going to stop saying interesting, because maybe it's not interesting. The battles weren't as visceral as I thought they could be.
In what sense?
Like, there was very little blood. There was very little kind of, monster slime.
Yeah.
There was a lot of Godzilla being bitten on the neck by these Muto creatures.
Yeah.
But you'd never see him, you never really see him bleed at all,
no.
I don't think. Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Maybe that's got something to do with the rating.
Maybe, yeah.
Though Pacific Rim had a lot of kind of goo and
that's
and
true,
whatever.
It did, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to make of that, Mason.
Exactly, yeah. I thought the combat was lacking in that. We didn't really...
You want flesh torn off.
Yeah, I kind of want flesh torn off. I want to see some blood so we know that there are stakes involved.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise, they could just be battering at each other for weeks.
Yeah, well, that's right. Exactly. And when he kind of goes down and you think he's dead, it's not clear what had done that.
Yes, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
Because he got bit.
Yep. Because he got bit.
Yeah, because he got bit.
By a dog. Yeah, by that dog from earlier. That had rabies.
I've just got here, look, it does everything a Godzilla movie should do.
I thought you were going to say it does everything a goddamn Godzilla movie should do.
Yeah, I've got it. It does everything a Godzilla movie should do eventually.
Mm.
Like, it eventually does it.
Yeah.
It takes its time.
Uh-huh.
I think next time, if they do a sequel, they're going to have to speed that up.
Mm-hmm.
Because they've now revealed what he can do and the battles or whatever.
And that's pretty much it.
Well, yeah. Well, what do you do though next time? What would you see? I've got here also. What would you see him fight next or do next?
Yeah. Well, I also thought it would have been good to see some kind of sort of additional scope, like some sort of preview of another monster. That maybe is on the way for him.
Yeah.
Like maybe humanity somehow awakened more of these creatures.
Barkley.
Charles Barkley
fought him.
Yeah. Exactly. Like Charles Barkley takes a in the post credits, he takes a potion. He's like, this is a refreshing energy drink
old Charles Barkley.
Yeah, and he's like, no, and then he starts growing out of his house or whatever. Because potentially we won't see another monster in this universe for another 50,000 years.
That's
right?
True. Yeah, yeah.
When is the prequel comic set?
80s.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Something like that, yeah. Right. But the reason that it comes about is because of nuclear testing. That awakens them in the 50s.
In the 50s, yeah.
And then something happens.
So, I mean, we could not see one. And Godzilla, I understand, is potentially millions of years old.
Well, it could be an alien force.
Could be an alien force,
Could be Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah. I would like to see some sort of private enterprise. Now that the secret has been revealed,
yeah,
I would like to see some sort of private enterprise, like a corporation, okay, attempt to, you know, harness Godzilla for their own ends.
Yeah.
Then we could see a Mecha Godzilla kind
absolutely.
Of, or some sort of, you know, Jaeger kind of Pacific Rim kind of thing attempting to take down Godzilla.
That would be cool.
And being destroyed, having its head torn off.
Yes. Be good, right? He should have really used that atomic fire breath much earlier.
Mm.
Maybe it's like a one shot kind of thing, or a two shot kind of thing, because you
really
twice.
A two shot kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. This is unrelated, Mason, but I was at work and I was sitting having my lunch.
Great.
And this guy from my work is
you're sitting, famous for it.
I'm very famous for it. I'm known for it. But a guy at my work turns to me and he's reading the Godzilla review and he's like, James, you're like this. Check out this Godzilla review. Check out the title. We're off to see the lizard. So he thought I'd like that.
You did, though.
And I did.
Yes. Great.
I'm not above that.
No, absolutely not. Yeah.
So, yeah, we did go off to see the lizard, Mason. Indeed. And in many ways, it was successful.
Mm.
Do you have anything else to say before we give it the rating that we do?
Not promising. Good. Liked it.
Okay. Yeah. So you're going to say best movie ever?
I'm going to say best movie ever, yeah.
I'm going to say tentative best movie ever. That being said, I don't really want to see it again, and I don't care if there's never a sequel.
Well, as soon as I came out of the film, I was like, I enjoyed that. I'd rather not see it again. I'd probably see it one more time.
Okay.
Yeah, give me a week. Maybe we'll see how it goes.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. You got to watch the season finale of Arrow first, though.
Fine. God.
Also, Daniel Tonks has written in, and I noticed you didn't get a popcorn or a Coke there when we went. Because normally you embrace the cinema.
I embrace the cinema, yeah, that's true.
Though they do sell pizza there now, which I'm against. You shouldn't have hot food in the cinema. I don't want to smell your pizza. You dumbass. Not you. But you specifically.
I know, right?
But he says that the 90% of ticket revenues goes to the cinema, goes to the movie studios. So people should embrace the cinema going
exactly.
experience.
Exactly. That's right.
So maybe you should support cinemas, especially independent cinemas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But also the really big ones.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Just the huge chains.
Yeah. You know what? I'd normally, in the past, I haven't cared about IMAX or whatever. I don't care for 3D. Mm-hmm.
I hope that dies again, yeah.
God, I hope so. But I think because the effects are getting better and better and the scope of movies is getting bigger, I'd rather see movies like this now on a big screen.
Mm,
we saw
yeah.
it on a VMAX,
mm-hmm, yeah,
which is like double the size maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mm, an IMAX, certainly.
Yeah, but we didn't see the X-Men one on a giant screen.
But we were but right, we were so right in front of it, so it
I had
seemed
to turn,
that way, yeah.
turn my head to see the Grey Temples of Wolverine just back and forth.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, Nyx, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect.
So yeah, I guess that's the review, Mason. Now we're going to move on to finishing up last week's topic, which was...
Unfinished business.
Unfinished business, risky business.
Was that... Yes.
You know, Tom Cruise just changed his Twitter biography to something like been running since 1981.
Yeah, running in movies since 1981, which is perfectly encapsulates what he has been doing, because he really has.
What's he running from, Mason? Care to speculate?
No. Absolutely not.
Sure. Now, my review, Mason, for X-Men Days of Future Past is up, as I've mentioned. If you go to Mr. Sunday Movies or youtube.com/Mr. Sunday Movies, you can see that.
Mm-hmm.
It's spoiler-free, so we're not going to talk about this today. But before we go into this, there's also one more bit of news. Channing Tatum has been cast as Gambit in X-Men Apocalypse 2016. Huh. That's what it's called.
There you go.
So, yeah, we'll talk more about that next week and how that movie could possibly go.
Mm-hmm.
Because that a lot of that, if we did talk about it, would spoil Days of Future Past.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we were up to, Mason, X-Men, we talked about last week, X-Men 1, X-Men 2, X-Men United Together,
mm-hmm. Sure.
And X-Men 3, The Last Stand.
Mm.
Ing. And I think we said first two were great, especially for the time, in particular mm-hmm. 2. Third one has some moments that are okay,
yeah.
But we hate Brett Ratner, and if we ever see him, we're going to atomic breath him.
Absolutely.
Mm.
We're going to leave his head in San Francisco Bay.
So, yeah, at the time X-Men Wolverine Origins came out, do you remember any of the fanfare related to it? It was the first of many origin films.
Absolutely,
that
yeah.
was supposed to occur.
Yeah.
I wasn't particularly excited for it before, because it didn't... I didn't think it looked that good
mm-hmm.
beforehand.
Yep.
What do you remember thinking?
I was
about
willing
it?
To give it the benefit of the doubt,
mm.
and I remember a lot of people really loving it.
That's what I remember as well.
Yeah, and I remember thinking and saying to people, "You will regret this because it is terrible, and you have yet to realize that it is terrible."
Yeah.
But why did people? I guess it's the same thing with Phantom Menace. A lot of people went in really enjoyed that.
Yeah.
I think they had to convince themselves
yeah.
that they really enjoyed it.
Because it's got a lot of elements that you should enjoy.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, Hugh Jackman is great.
Yep.
It's got a whole lot of mutants.
Yep.
It's got Deadpool, sort of, I guess.
Uh-huh.
There's action.
Yep.
I don't know. I guess that's why. But it's not. It's easily the worst X-Men movie
absolutely is,
that yeah. will ever be made.
Yes.
I know it had a lot of studio interference. Gavin Hood, the director, he also did Ender's Game, which I watched. But I...
What if that made it better, though? Think about it.
How is it, though, that some directors kind of can stand up to that and some don't? Does it depend on the movie? Does it depend on the property? Does it depend on the studio? Does it depend on the director? How does this happen?
I'd say it depends on a lot of factors, some of which you just mentioned.
Sure.
This was the one, and actually I remember, and I've just recalled it now because I've looked it up on the Wikipedia page here. Mm. This was the one where the work print was released a month beforehand.
That's exactly right.
Where the special effects weren't finished.
Yeah.
And
but they didn't get that much better.
No, they really didn't. I watched about the first 5 minutes, and I was like, you know what? I'm going to wait.
Yeah.
Because the elements of it looked pretty good.
Yep.
There is the sequence right at the start where, towards the start, where he discovers he's a mutant, he goes on the run.
Yeah.
And then you see him and Sabretooth sort of go through a series of wars.
That is incredible.
That is a great sequence. Like, you see, like, it's a great intro to the character.
Yep.
You can see how old he is and what he's been through.
Yep.
Without, you know, in without any words.
Yeah,
in
a lot of, absolutely.
In a lot of ways, yeah.
I feel like as well they should have stopped at one of those wars.
Yes, yeah, absolutely.
Like maybe World War II. I want to see like a Logan World War II movie.
Yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that whole sequence is incredible. Yeah. And then it just kind of stops in, I don't know, the 70s, is it?
No, it's the vague. It's the vague. It could be the future, but it's the present.
Yeah, that's, yep. I think it's the Vietnam War, isn't it, at some point? Or like, does it go till after that?
No, it goes till after that.
I think it's set in the 80s because there's a nuclear reactor that melts down in it.
Mm.
And that happened around that time,
right,
as well.
Right, okay, yeah. Yeah, it's probably the 80s.
But yeah, that copy that leaked online, it was downloaded 4.5 million times.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think it really hurt the film that much.
No.
Because that still made quite a lot of money. It didn't do as well as X-Men 3.
Yeah, yeah.
But interestingly, there was a guy called Roger Friedman, a reporter for Fox News, and he wrote...
I remember this.
He wrote a review, an adverse review for the movie based on the leaked copy, and he even described in his review how easy it was to find and download the film.
Right.
And his review was removed and he was fired.
Fired, absolutely, yeah.
What an idiot.
Yeah. If we're talking about movie piracy, so it was downloaded 4.5 million times,
yeah.
Right? So, hang on, 4.5 times. Let's assume it cost $20 to see it at the movies.
Sure.
Right, so that's $90 million, right?
Yeah.
People would say, like, the movie industry will say it cost them $90 million.
Yeah.
But it didn't.
No.
Because that assumes that if you could not download this movie...
You would go and see
it. You would have to go, like, you'd be compelled to see it.
Yeah.
But a lot of people, and that's people will say that about, you know, maybe a DVD, like... Oh, you know, it cost $20 to buy the DVD and a million people downloaded it.
Mm.
So the movie industry, you know, the TV industry lost $20 million.
Yeah.
But it didn't, because most people were, if it's a movie, you know, if it's like Sharknado.
Yeah.
And your option is watch it, you know, pay for it on DVD or download it for free.
Mm.
If that option to download it was suddenly taken away from you, most people aren't going to watch
it. I would never see
that. No, because
it's
a movie about a tornado that's filled with deadly sharks.
Yeah.
Right? You would, but if the option was, hey, you can pay $5 and download it instantly, I think a lot of people would.
Yeah.
But for $20, no.
No.
Absolutely not.
I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my rant about piracy. Stop complaining.
I thought that was about me.
Yeah.
Okay, sorry.
Okay, no problem.
Yeah, I think I might have started to watch it just to see what it was like.
Right, yeah.
But I still went and saw it anyway. Mm-hmm. Do you want me, I've got a whole bunch of trivia here, Mason,
I'd
as
like
always.
To see some trivia, yeah.
You know how there's a bit where William Stryker,
yes,
has been recast many times now.
Yeah.
He says to Deadpool, if it weren't for that mouth, you'd be the perfect soldier. Because, you know, in the comic, he's branded the Merc with
the mouth. Yep.
And then what he says happened, and it was terrible.
Yep.
Because that... Why did they go that way with Deadpool?
I don't know.
Yeah.
Because they assumed there'd be a sweet, sweet spin-off. Because everybody would love X-Men Origins Wolverine.
But why go that way with the character to spin him off from like that? I don't understand
that. I don't
that.
Know it.
Why not just have him disappear?
Uh-huh.
And then maybe have him pop up at the end as a cameo as Deadpool.
Yeah.
The proper, not a brainwashed guy who's got Cyclops' powers and... Wolverine's claws
and teleportation.
I just,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, I don't know.
What is happening?
It's not a very good film. Here's the thing. This X-Men Origins Wolverine is one of those films that feels to me like watching somebody else play a video game on God mode.
Yep.
You know, there's a couple of those. Like, and I guess this doesn't happen as much anymore because video games are... They're not as difficult and they're kind of...
They hold your hand more.
Yeah, they hold
to,
your hand
yeah.
more and they're more cinematic. They want
yeah.
you to see...
Yeah.
more of the game.
Yeah.
But back in the day, like if you put on God mode, you know, if you just wanted to be invincible and finish the game and see everything it had to offer.
Yeah.
And that was okay if you wanted to do that. But watching somebody else do that.
No, it's
that's
not.
That's completely uninteresting,
yeah,
right?
You're exactly.
This is what that film is. Right? Because he can't die.
Yep.
And you can't affect the outcome. And he's just doing a series of dumb things.
Yep, fair right? enough. Yep.
Like, he literally could not die. Where is the narrative weight?
I'm trying to think if there's a moment. No, because even at the end when he's fighting on top of the nuclear reactor or whatever, it never feels like that he's gonna die.
Mm-hmm.
The fights with Sabretooth never feel... I mean, they're okay fight sequences, but you never feel like either of them are going to die.
Right, exactly.
Also, because it's a prequel, you know he's not going to die.
Exactly, yeah.
Which is another problem which we've talked about before. That's why The Wolverine, again, I said this last week, The Wolverine is a better movie for a lot of reasons. But one is because you could die. He's not going to die.
Right.
But you
he's worth too much money.
Exactly, yeah. Do you know, though, Liev Schreiber?
I'm aware of Liev Schreiber, sure.
The guy who played him in X-Men 1 wanted to come back, but... wrestlers aren't known for their acting prowess.
Correct.
They're known for their wrestling. No one can fault them on that.
Absolutely. They're known for their taunts. They're known for taunting one another. They're known for stealing one another's managers. You know?
They're known for having heart attacks at 38.
Yeah, they sure are. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Known for, like stealing somebody's manager's, like, Cadillac and filling it with cement. You know? They'll do a prank like that. You know?
Sure.
Yeah.
You a wrestling guy?
Not really, no.
No, me neither. No. Not against it, but you know, it's never really got into it. I think because when we were kids, we didn't really get it here, did we?
No, that's true. WrestleMania 30 just came out there, so maybe we should do an episode on that.
Okay.
Let's get the Blu-ray of WrestleMania 30.
I think I wouldn't understand it, and right. People would be angry at me.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hats off to those guys, though.
I recently saw The Wrestling at Comedy Festival, which was comedians versus wrestlers. It was pretty good. It's really great.
Was that rehearsed?
Yes.
Well, it's just taken the...
Yeah, no. Fake.
I love how people still say that now. It's fake, you know. Yeah.
But yes. But it was great because I got to be there with a screaming crowd and boo people, which I haven't done in a long time. It's super fun.
It's normally just you booing on yourself.
Yeah,
right?
Exactly. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
That annoys me about wrestling, though, when people go, it's fake, it's not real or whatever. It is scripted. That is a well-known fact. It's
right.
been well-known for many, many years now
uh-huh.
that is the case. But those guys, they really get hurt.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, they are athletes.
Sometimes inadvertently.
Yeah.
But very much so, yeah.
Like, who was the one that died a few years ago?
Hulk Hogan?
Yes, but there was another one. He fell...
Hollywood Hulk Hogan.
That's the one. No, Bret Hart's brother.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
Oh, what's his name? People are screaming at me.
Yeah,
but he fell as he was being lowered in and he hit his head on the turnbuckle or whatever.
Mm.
And he was killed.
Yeah, yeah.
And even as he was lying there, people were like, boo, get up. And even the ambulance comes in. I guess that's a problem because people think the whole thing is an act.
Yeah, yeah.
But he was dead.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
So yeah, video game on God mode.
Yeah.
No more so than when he needs like... He needs, like, information from a guy.
Yep.
And the guy's like, I'll tell you if you can beat me in a boxing match. You know that bit?
Yeah, I know that
That's
bit.
So video gamey and terrible.
And there's a bit...
If that happened to you in real life, you'd be like, no.
Why
just
would
tell
I?
Me the information.
That's dumb. Yeah. And also, that's the bit where the guy thinks that he calls him Blob, but he calls him Bub.
Right.
It's just like, oh, okay, all right. Yeah, we know that's a character,
children,
Blob.
Yeah.
Great. Mm. Yeah, but Liev Schreiber was going to... Because he's not as big a guy as Hugh Jackman was at the time.
Uh-huh.
He was going to get a muscle suit.
Great.
Like, a bit like Vinnie Jones
uh-huh.
for Juggernaut in X-Men 3.
Uh-huh.
But he said he it made him like feel like humiliated to wear something
right.
like that.
Right,
as
right.
it would, I guess.
Yeah.
But so he then requested a chance to gain muscle himself.
Okay, right.
Which he did. So, you know, good for him.
Also, you could do a lot of that with angles.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, you know, just have the camera facing up, he looks real tall.
I've got two pieces of trivia that tie into each other here, Mason.
Uh-huh.
Will I Am accidentally punched the camera while filming a fight scene and scarred his knuckles.
Mm-hmm.
More interestingly, who thought it was a good idea to put Will I Am in an X-Men movie?
Right.
That, what?
Was he that bad? I kind of remember.
I remember him being really bad and unnecessary.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He was a... What could he do in that?
Well, I don't
even
Kestrel, remember. He could teleport.
Okay, yep, yeah, sure.
Great.
There was a whole lot of B-grade kind of mutants in it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
As well, but none of them were really interesting. I thought Dominic Monaghan did an okay job. The guy from Lost?
Yep.
Where are we?
Yeah, absolutely.
From
yeah.
Lost, he's in The Hobbit. I thought he did an okay job with what he's got, but a lot of those mutants are very forgettable.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know, Mason...
Because I've forgotten most of them. If you asked me to name another one besides Blob, I couldn't tell you.
There's... Who's the Asian guy in it? Who's the agent?
Oh, Asian.
That's the one.
Yeah.
You know, in James Howlett's bedroom, who, of course, is Wolverine's real name,
mm-hmm.
this is before he runs away, a picture on the wall can be seen of a Wolverine foreshadowing.
A picture of a Wolverine.
Yes.
Yeah, you know what? The problem with this film as a whole was for the absolute lowest common denominator. Like, there was an unironic Wolverine walks away from an explosion in slow motion and he doesn't look at it. Like, there was one of those.
Yep.
This movie was all about, well, people love explosions. Let's put in explosions.
Yeah.
People love really macho dialogue. Let's put in macho dialogue. It was exactly that, right?
Yeah, you're right.
The whole film was that.
Yeah. Mm. People love love interests.
Yeah.
Let's give him a vague love interest.
Let people love kindly old men giving advice. You know? Well, let's put one of those in.
I've got a fact about that.
I'm ready.
The old couple that Logan encounters, they're called...
Who
are younger than him, but he still takes advice.
Yep.
Which is weird. Mm-hmm. There's also a bit where he goes, oh, you've got that sweet motorcycle. I remember when that came off the production line. And he's like, how would you remember that? And everyone goes, ha, ha, ha.
Yeah,
like what? Why would you reveal that? We get it. Why would you reveal that?
Uh-huh.
Anyway, anyway, their names are Travis and Heather Hudson.
Uh-huh.
And they're that's their civilian names.
The Hudson, they're from Alpha Flight.
They're from Hudson Hawk, the movie.
Oh, there we go.
They are. There. That's you're right. They're Guardian, the Vindicator from Alpha Flight, a Canadian government mutant team. So there you go. Though in the comics, Guardian's name is James McDonald Hudson.
Yeah.
So I guess they changed that. So they sort of included it, but they didn't.
But they didn't, exactly, because they, like, I see the tip of the hat there, because Wolverine was in Alpha Flight in the comic books. Like, they needed, when the Marvel created Alpha Flight, they were like, we need a Canadian mutant to be on the team.
Yeah.
And so they're like, let's make Wolverine a mutant, we'll put him on the team, kind of thing.
Yeah. But why not have him go to them and be like, listen, you remember me. We did the war together.
Right,
one of them. And he's like, you haven't aged a day or whatever. You don't even have to say that. He knows who he is and go, of course, you can hold up here. Here's a motorcycle. Here's a jacket.
Right.
Get out there, son. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, why not do it like that? Why do it? Why even mention that they're...
Why make... Exactly. Like, I had no idea that was the case.
Yeah.
Why mention that they are those characters? Because now, if you want to make an Alpha Flight movie... You can't do it without breaking the continuity, which is irrelevant to the X-Men films because they always break the continuity all the time. Let's talk about breaking continuity in this film.
Sure.
At the end, he rescues some mutants, which includes Cyclops and Emma Frost, right?
Yep.
Who was a teenager, but was an adult in the 60s. Right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Uh-huh. I mean, I guess they never say it's Emma Frost.
But she looks a lot like Emma Frost.
And she has the Emma Frost powers.
Correct.
Yeah. Well, actually, the guy who played Scott Summers, Tim Pocock.
Uh-huh.
Now, he describes this film as Scott Summers' big transition moment when Scott goes from a troubled teenager to a leader in the span of a film.
Oh.
Did you remember that happening?
In the 2 minutes he was on screen.
I remember him having his eyes completely covered.
Yep.
And then he escaped from a cell.
Yep. And that's it. You're right. Yeah. Yeah.
This movie is garbage. Okay. Yeah, Bryan Singer, who directed the first two films, was approached. Brett Ratner was approached, who did X-Men 3. Uh-huh. Len Wiseman was approached. I think he did, the Underworld
films, yep.
Alexandre.
But then he would have had to put, what's her face in?
Oh, yeah, he would have. I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
I love Kate Beckinsale. Yeah. Shooting Fish. I like that movie. Uh-huh. Alexandra Aja. I don't know who that is.
No idea.
And Zack Snyder all expressed interest in directing before Gavin Hood was brought on board. Some of those are okay. Some of them I don't know.
Hmm.
So, yeah. Did you notice, Mason, in some scenes, the Wolverine claws were created through computer-generated imagery?
God, did I. They're the worst claws in the... I don't understand. They were pretty good all through 1, 2, and 3, right? How did they become the worst? They became noticeably ridiculous.
They became like cartoon claws.
They looked like...
Who Framed Roger
Rabbit. I was just going to say Who Framed Roger Rabbit. Exactly. R.I.P. Bob Hoskins. He died.
That sucks. Yeah.
Anything they touch produced sparks.
Yeah.
Like, no matter what. Like, he cut through a porcelain basin. Yeah. Sparks. Why?
You know what I thought was interesting as well? You can see as well that he's not really looking at them because there's nothing there.
Yeah.
So his eyes don't line up with what he's looking at. And I know they tried to make him kind of shiny and new because they were shiny and new.
Right, exactly.
But it
yeah.
looked ridiculous. And also, though, the reason they did this, and you'll love this, is because the props being used in those scenes looked obvious.
Ah, great. So good.
Also, yeah, that's dumb, right?
Yeah, it's so dumb. I understand the rationale of, well, he's got brand new adamantium claws.
Yeah.
So make them look shinier. But...
You don't have to.
No, you don't have to, yeah.
Also, as we discussed last night...
Also, they look pretty much shiny and new in all the films,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't look at the first three X-Men films and go, boy, his claws are looking a bit weathered, aren't they?
They could use a polish.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, also, the way that they come out of his hands, because they come out kind of between his knuckles and fingers.
Yep.
It's easy to make a prop where he can just grab that in his fist.
Right, exactly.
And you cannot see that he's holding that.
A lot of very successful Wolverine cosplayers just do that.
Yeah.
And then they can take them on and off whenever they want. They
That's
just hold
right.
them in their hands, yeah.
Man, classic.
Yeah.
Gavin Hood also wanted to make Wolverine suffer from a post-traumatic stress disorder from all his years in the armies. In the army, or armies. He was in multiple armies.
Multiple armies,
sure.
Yeah.
But Fox Studios vetoed the idea because it was too heavy a theme for a comic book film. But I would argue that Magneto is a Holocaust survivor, and that is a much heavier...
Absolutely, yeah.
Like, or not much heavier, but it is at least equally heavy a theme.
Correct, yeah.
Come on.
Yeah.
I mean, so much wrong with this.
Absolutely.
That sounds like studio intervention there, though.
And, that, and then, all, then they, of course, gave Tony Stark PTSD in Iron Man 3. So I guess it wasn't that heavy after all. But also, maybe it would have been really... I would say maybe. It would definitely have been very poorly handled if they'd done
no
it.
Oh, no doubt.
Because it was quite poorly handled in Iron Man 3. He just got over it. Which is not something you'd do with PTSD. It's like, well, I'll just believe in myself for a bit. Oh, I'm fine now. Oh, that's right. I'm a billionaire. I'm a billionaire superhero. Fine.
Now, we talked about this, I think, last week as well. You know how it, in the comics, the reason he loses his memory is because his healing factor... What did you say? I think you used the word...
Paper's over, yeah.
Paper's over.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Like paper.
Uh-huh.
So that's how he loses his memories.
Uh-huh.
But in this one, they decided that... I guess that was too subtle.
Uh-huh.
So they'll just shoot him in the head with a bullet.
Right, exactly, yeah.
And as you pointed out also,
uh-huh.
if his skull is adamantium and the bullet's adamantium, they would just ping off each other.
Correct.
What I hate about that scene also is they explain what they're going to do. What they're going to do is dumb, right? But he's like, I've got this adamantium bullet. This will sort him out. And the guy's like, sir, that won't kill him. He's amazing or whatever. And he's like, no, it won't kill him, but he'll lose all
his memories.
Yeah. You, how do you know that?
You don't, exactly.
At least have him do it. And then he loses his memories.
Right.
Don't make that his plan.
Yep.
Stryker's not a scientist though either, is he? Is he?
I guess he's a
military
scientist.
I mean, he runs the program,
yeah,
but he's not a...
Maybe he's just picked some stuff up here and there.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, man. Now, there's some other mutant cameos in this movie, as we mentioned, Mason. Uh-huh. William Stryker.
Yep.
He's captured and incarcerated these familiar faces. There's a tongued boy called Mortimer Toynbee, who's Toad.
Uh-huh, yep.
Who also appears in other X-Men films. Mm-hmm. What do you think of the new look Toad in the new one?
Maybe he's a different guy.
He's not. It's him.
Oh, well, then I have no idea. Fine. Maybe he's had some work done.
Sure, you would, I guess. Yeah. The teenager with the tornado is Wind Dancer.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even remember that happening.
No.
The boy vibrating in his cage is Quicksilver, son of Magneto.
There you go.
And the boy with tape over his mouth is Banshee, who appears also in First Class.
Yeah.
Which is, again, set...
In the past.
Now, that's pretty much it, Mason. I guess my last question is... Before we rate this worst movie ever.
Uh-huh, sure.
Of all time.
Wait a sec, don't jump the gun.
How does Professor X get Professor X'd? Well, as we know, that is the question we ask every week. Professor X becomes incapacitated in every movie. How is that done in this?
Is he?
He's just not in it.
He's in it, not in it. There we go.
Well, he's in it at the end.
Right.
And he's walking, which is confusing
mm.
because that doesn't make sense at all.
Yeah.
According to everything else. So, Mason, best or worst movie ever?
Worst movie ever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Me too.
Great.
Do you want to see any more Wolverine solo movies?
No.
We're going to get one.
Oh, there is one, yeah.
Yeah.
Fantastic. You know, I do want to see another one because the Wolverine was good.
Yeah. Mm. Well, we're going to talk about the Wolverine, Mason.
Yep.
Right now.
Right
now.
I
thought we could go to First Class last because that leads into Days of Future Past more than...
Yes, it does.
Oh, so does the Wolverine.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to compare the Wolverine and... Wolverine Origins.
Again, it's difficult to determine which one leads in more because they're, again, riddled with continuity errors. So maybe none of them do. Maybe they're all set in... I had a conversation with somebody last night about this and I'm like, well, they're all riddled with continuity errors. And she was like, Maybe they're all set in parallel universes.
And you said maybe you're set in parallel universes.
That's what I said.
Good.
Yeah, good.
Mm. Let's shut her up.
Yeah, that's right.
That's a really good point, though. Mm. Do you think they could ever just come out and say that, though?
No, because it'd be awful.
Now, Mason, I've got some facts here about Hugh Jackman's workout regime.
Is the first one just say like a mad dog?
No.
Huh.
But let's make that the first one.
Yep.
Hugh Jackman contacted Dwayne Johnson for advice on bulking up for the movie. Mm-hmm. Johnson suggested he could gain a pound a week over 6 months eating bunches of stuff like rice and brown rice and stuff.
Bunches of stuff.
Great.
Macrobiotics.
So he ate 6,000 calories a day and an awful lot of steak and brown rice and chicken.
Hmm.
That seems awful.
Yep.
Who was it that was telling me recently? Apparently having a six pack is technically unhealthy because you're supposed to have like a half an inch of layer of fat minimum on your body.
We've nailed this.
Hugh Jackman said for his shirtless scene he wanted to look as ripped and cut as possible. He succeeded,
yes.
But the way he did that, something bodybuilders do, they don't drink for something like 36 hours before.
Mm.
And it
all the water weight disappears,
All the water weight disappears. And he said he got super headachy, but he said it was the look that he wanted.
Hmm.
Do you think it was the look that he wanted?
Yes, because he said that. Why would he lie? He's a great bloke.
That's right. One more, Mason, about his physique.
Uh-huh.
He said he finally achieved the physique he always wanted. And each of the prior takes for the character,
mm-hmm.
he never had enough time to get into shape.
Mm-hmm.
And he felt this was the one that he really could do that.
Yes.
Because when Darren Aronofsky was originally making it, because Wolverine, he's quite lean in a lot of the movies, but in the comics, he's more bulky.
Yeah.
And he's definitely more bulky now than what he was
originally. X-Men 1.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. There's one more fact about
his
physique.
Yes, I'm
sure. Co-star Will Yun Lee says that it was Jackman's best physique for the role in Wolverine.
I think he's probably right. Best physiques all around.
No, I just launched that physique thing, but what did you think of the Wolverine?
I really enjoyed it.
Mm.
He's not as invincible as...
Yeah.
He's not as invincible. There's some genuine stakes involved.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, sure. Do you think that's because he had the squid on his heart, or it just felt that way anyway?
Well, speaking of that, there was the villain was quite the villains were a mishmash, weren't they?
Yeah,
yeah. Was that Madam? Was that supposed to be Madam Viper?
I think it was. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm, and yeah. The other guy was the Silver Samurai, but there was two Silver Samurais. One was a dad. One was an old man in a robot suit.
Correct. Yes.
Which was interesting.
Mm, okay. Yeah. And again, I don't necessarily object to them, like the Silver Samurai not being a mutant, just a guy in a robot suit. That's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
But I'm sure there were people who the Silver Samurai is their favorite character.
Yeah.
And
me.
Yeah. Sorry. Sorry about what happened.
But yeah.
I don't know. I liked the setting was great.
Yep.
The train fight sequence was
Wasn't
incredible.
Wasn't it good?
Yeah. So good. Mm-hmm. Very tense.
That was all green screen. They didn't really do it on top of a train.
Ah, not a real speeding bullet train.
No.
And in X-Men 3 or the Wolverine, if he'd fallen off the train, he would have just gotten up again.
Yeah.
There would have been no stakes.
That's right, exactly, because you know that he could die, because he's bleeding for most of that movie, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
What happened to his sidekick at the end of that movie? Because she was like, I'll stick with you, Wolverine. Let's be friends.
Don't know. We don't find out, do we?
No, we don't. Do you know, Famke Janssen mm-hmm. is in this film, Mason.
Yep.
As in his head memories.
Yep, sure.
She filmed her cameos in 3 days, which is a long time.
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah,
she's not in it that much.
No, that's true.
Is she? Yeah.
But I suppose they would have that would have been a case of hurry up and wait kind of thing. Like she would have had to, because each of those cameos is in a different set.
Yep.
So presumably they would have had to set up for each set.
Okay.
And you know, Hugh Jackman would have had different makeup and different like. Wounds put in and all that sort of stuff. So that there would have been hours of that, and then she would have shown up and been like, "Believe in yourself, Wolverine," and then left. Right?
Or don't believe in
or
yourself.
Or don't believe in yourself. Or kill yourself. What was it? I don't know what it was.
Kill yourself. I think it was kill yourself.
Right? Yeah.
Guillermo del Toro expressed interest in directing, being a fan of the Japanese saga from the Wolverine comics.
Uh-huh.
He met with James Giannopoulos and Hugh Jackman about directing the film. I'm assuming he's a producer.
Uh-huh.
I don't know who he is. But he ultimately decided he didn't want to spend 2 to 3 years of his life working on a film.
Mm-hmm.
It's a long time to dedicate
really
to a film,
is, yeah.
isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty standard, though.
Hmm.
Darren Aaron didn't want to travel to Japan.
Old Darar.
Oh, Darar. So, yeah. Also, Mason, this is the first X-Men film to have an extended version on Blu-ray release. Till Elston, listener of the show, says it's great. I haven't seen it. You seen it?
I haven't seen it.
A lot of blood, they say.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was... The one thing I didn't... There was a few things that I weren't entirely wrapped with. You know what? It's a good movie. Uh-huh. It's not amazing. Would you agree with that?
I would agree with that, yeah. I mean, I haven't really been compelled to watch it again.
Same. Like, you know the bit where he fights all the samurai in the snow?
Yep.
I thought that was going to go a lot longer, and it just kind of...
Petered
wrap
out a
itself
bit.
Up pretty quickly. I think I think there's more of that in the
extended
in the
version.
Comics. Okay. Yeah, yeah. Mm. Did you like the animatronic bear?
Yes.
Did
no,
you?
I'm ambivalent towards it.
Did you like how he was drinking Stan Lee whiskey?
Didn't even notice that.
There you go.
That's pretty great.
Neither did I. Mm. I don't really have. I guess the difference between this and the other one is it's fine and it's pretty good. So I don't really have anything to say about it other than that.
Yeah.
We like it.
We like it. And therefore, best movie ever.
Best movie ever. Yeah. How does Professor X... Doesn't matter, does
doesn't
it?
Doesn't matter. It didn't get X. If only.
If only. Last one, Mason. Mm-hmm. My personal favorite X-Men movie.
Okay.
X-Men Wolverine Origins. We're back.
We've gone all the way around. We're taking another pass at this.
X-Men First Class.
Mm.
2011.
Yep.
Seen as a kind of rebooty, kind of reimagining of the series.
Mm-hmm.
It scrapped a lot of the continuity from the other movies.
Boy, did it.
The director did that on purpose because he's like, look, I just want to make the best movie, so I don't care. Uh-huh. It specifically, though, takes away the continuity from 3 and Origins.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
A lot of the other stuff stays.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's all, is he Professor X walking, not walking, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
It's the only movie that's not, doesn't have Wolverine as one of the main characters, though he does appear in a sweet cameo.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of that at the time?
The movie.
Yes.
As a whole.
Yes.
It was great. It is one of my favorites also, yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. In fact, maybe it is my favorite.
I think it's my favorite.
Because I've just recently rewatched it, because we're going to do an audio commentary at some point.
We're supposed to do that.
Yeah. Sure. Sorry to anyone who's still hanging out for that.
No one's hanging out.
Okay, great.
I think we'll be okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, though, for the movie, James McAvoy shaved his head for the role, and then he learned that they didn't want a shaved head Professor X for this. So a lot of time he's wearing hair extensions.
Wow, there you go.
Oh, most of it is wearing hair extensions. So yeah, that's kind of interesting.
That is fun, yeah. You'd think he would have asked first.
Yeah.
Does that mean he's a big fan of the films? Was he
I
just
guess
like,
he must
oh,
be,
man,
yeah.
This is my chance.
Seeing him and Patrick Stewart face-to-face,
yeah,
which you see in some of the trailers for Days of Future Past, they've got a very similar profile.
Yeah, very similar face structure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Maybe it was just an excuse to shave your head.
Sure.
Because that happens, right? You're like, oh, if I could, you know. Because I don't want to.
Yeah.
But if I had some sort of, you know.
You could do it for charity, Mason.
I guess I could do it for charity. Yeah.
You got it?
Nah. Nah, I'll pay for somebody else to do it.
I loved it, and I wasn't the only person who said this, that we finally got a look at some comic book style suits.
Mm.
And they weren't super comic booky.
Yep.
But they were pretty good, I thought. They fit the era that the movie was set in.
Yeah, a little bit colourful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was fantastic.
Mm.
Yeah, and a kind of practical in the same sense.
But they
as
would
well.
Have looked ridiculous. In X-Men 1, if they had worn those suits, it would have looked absolutely
That's true.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, yeah, fair point. But why not, and this carries over to Days of Future Past,
uh-huh.
why not have some kind of comic book style suit in the other ones now?
Yeah.
Because you can do it.
Yeah, we've established the world is pretty crazy.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah.
That's very true.
Now, What's going on?
I was going to say, everybody's really well cast in the one, I think. Yeah,
absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like Scott Summers as brothers? Havoc. Havoc?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have cheese.
Yeah, no.
I can have cheese.
No, stop it. Yeah, really well cast. Again, they tweaked some of the continuity, like Sebastian Shaw was never a Nazi originally.
No, he wasn't.
But it sort of worked.
Wasn't he from way, way, way the past back?
Sebastian Shaw?
Yeah.
Not really, no. Isn't I don't he? Think so. No, he's not. He's not immortal.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm thinking of someone else. Doesn't he have a ponytail in the comics as well?
Yes, he does. Sweet. A ponytail and like a ruffly shirt.
Also, Mason, there's a few things cut from this, including there was going to be a Professor X and Emma Frost mind battle.
Oh.
But they took it out because Inception had mind battles as
right,
well.
Exactly, yeah.
You can't have too many mind battles.
It's trite. Don't like it.
Also, Nicholas Holt, who played Beast...
Mm-hmm.
He studied Kelsey Grammer's performance in X-Men
He dyed
the
his
Last
skin
Day.
Blue. Just, and then we're like, we don't really want you to be blue for most of this film. And he's like, God damn it.
Yeah, he studied Kelsey Grammer's performance in The Last Stand and also Kelsey Grammer in early seasons of Frasier.
Great.
Get to get that right. The Beast in that as well, did you notice? He's more cat-like. He's more Joss Whedon's Astonishing X-Men kind of than he is beastly.
Yeah, yeah, true.
Than the other ones. But they kind of change that in Days of Future Past, don't they? He kind of becomes...
He's sort of a hybrid.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. So there you go. The filmmakers had two choices for the role of Sebastian Shaw. Colin Firth and Kevin Bacon. And they decided to go with Kevin Bacon because he was American and seemed more menacing than Firth. Do you agree with that?
He's very sinister, yeah.
Yeah, he is.
I imagine there is huge throngs of people out there who could not imagine Colin Firth as a bad guy.
No.
As well.
I'm trying to think if there's an example of that.
No, even as a Nazi, he'd be quite lovable.
Colin Firth struck that woman in his car once, though, so...
Oh.
But even then.
Yeah, even then.
Charmed his way out of it.
So charming.
Yeah. Mm. That didn't really happen, by the way. So that's clear he didn't really...
Yeah.
James McAvoy and Michael Fassbender, that's their first appearance together since Band of Brothers.
Oh.
They're both in Band of Brothers.
Yeah.
I gotta watch that again. Mm-hmm. You liked Band of Brothers, right?
Yes.
Actually, Bryan Singer was approached to direct these films, but in 2010 he declined due to commitments... of the world's most successful film of all time, Jack the Giant Slayer. So you can see why.
Yeah, absolutely, sure. That one that was computer animated, probably?
No, but it did have Nicholas Holt.
Oh.
And it did have Beanstalks, and it did have Bill Nighy.
Hmm.
And it did have the guy from Deadwood.
How did Nicholas Holt have time for both those films?
Because Jack the Giant Slayer came out last year, and the other one came out
in 2011. Right.
So there was a large gap. Right.
Singer needed a lot of prep time, clearly.
That's right. This is interesting, Mason.
Yes.
And terrifying. Taylor Lautner was considered to play Hank McCoy, a.k.a. Beast, but dropped out due to scheduling conflicts. Nicholas Holt was then cast. How do you think that would have gone down?
Not as well.
He's a bit of a plank of wood, that guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, I'm sure he's a nice guy or whatever. But
let's get him on the podcast.
Sure. He is super enthusiastic about... everything, but I feel like he's got that kind of Tom Cruise kind of enthusiasm for things, which unnerves me.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Also, he would have had to really bulk down.
Yeah,
I guess. They could have Captain America'd him.
Yeah.
Like, CGI'd a really weak guy on him first, and sure. then bulked him up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Good point.
But then there would have been, like, over an hour of scenes of him like that. I don't know.
I don't know. He just put some...
Be more work than not.
He just put some, like, bigger coats on him or whatever.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Yeah, some ill-fitting stuff. I don't know.
Yeah.
But, yeah. Hugh Jackman accepted the opportunity to cameo as Wolverine in that film. I think it's one of his greatest performances in these movies.
That one line that he has.
It's brilliant. And I hadn't seen that going in. I didn't know he was in it. So that was a very nice surprise. For me, he improvised the line, go fuck yourself. They got one fuck in the movie. They got to say
it. Yeah, okay, right.
They also do it in Days of Future Past.
Yeah,
you probably noticed that as well. Because you can do that in a PG-13 movie. There were seven other takes, including fuck off.
Nice.
So, you know, mixing it up.
Mixing it up.
The reaction was that McAvoy and Fassbender had to the different line was authentic.
Huh.
Which would have been hurt.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah. In fact, that wasn't actually part of the scene. Hugh Jackman was just at a bar nearby, and they were like, oh, Hugh Jackman, he's great, he's a cool celebrity, fun actor guy, let's go and join him for a drink. And they just showed up, and then...
Nope.
Yeah. Wasn't having any of it, so they were genuinely hurt.
Last bit of trivia, Mason.
I'm ready.
As of 2011, this is the highest grossing film ever made about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Great.
Has there been one since?
Boy, there's probably been an Adam Sandler movie about the Cuban Missile Crisis.
Isn't one of the Dirty Dancing sequels set in Cuba?
Cuban Heat or something? Probably, yeah.
I think it's actually Havana Nights.
Havana Nights, there we go.
I'm sure.
Yep.
Well, Mason, I think that's it.
Yeah.
What do you think of that movie, though?
Best movie ever.
It's also the only movie that Professor X is in for the entire length that he doesn't get Professor X.
That's true.
The whole thing hinges around his powers,
which
is great.
Yeah, yeah.
I think the movie benefits
from... I mean, he does get X'd in the sense that he gets shot in the spine.
That's true.
Yeah.
I think that movie benefits from not focusing on Wolverine. You develop some other characters.
Yep.
You get to see a lot more of Professor X and Magneto and whatever and whatnot. I love those two characters, in particular Fassbender's Magneto. Mm-hmm. He's really, really great. So I guess for me, worst movie ever. Just joking, Mason. It's pretty good. Best movie ever, you?
Yeah, but also best movie ever.
Great.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mason, it's time for what we read and what we're going to read.
Yep.
Theme song. I'm doing the theme. What are
we reading today?
Hope somebody makes that into a theme song.
Great.
Now, what? Anything you're reading?
No, nope, I haven't read anything.
Cool. Well, Mason, I have a letter here from Billy Arundel, A-R-U-N-D-E-L-L.
Mm-hmm.
Now, he's drifted away, he says, from the X-Men comics, and he wants to return. Being Canadian, he wants to know if there's anything... Well, not just being...
he's being Canadian.
He's being very Canadian, yeah. No, yeah. Well, he said that he's read some X-Men comics of late, and he... He's sorry to see that Wolverine will be dead in a few months. And he says, surely a permanent move if comic book patents prove true.
Absolutely.
But he wants to know, do you think there's, if there's
any... They're also
going
to destroy all existing Wolverine comics. Anything he's been in is going to destroy it. So.
And they're going to kill Hugh Jackman with a shovel.
Yeah.
Yeah. He wants to know if there's any kind of launching off point X-Men comics that he thinks he maybe should read.
I think, yeah, you're the expert here, I think.
No. Nope.
Aren't you?
I've read some. The Astonishing X-Men run, Joss Whedon's run. I'd say if you're gonna start again, that's where you start.
Uh-huh. Yep. I also one that I enjoy, but I mean it's a few years old now. But Grant Morrison's New X-Men,
okay,
that was a really good one. I don't know how much of that is still relevant continuity wise.
Sure,
but it's good. Yeah,
that follow?
That follows
the X-Men.
Yeah, it certainly follows the X-Men. I can't. There's not a lot that I can say without spoiling it.
Okay,
but
cool.
That's a good one. Yeah.
Fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Also, he said that Nick Mason, that's you,
oh, that's me,
replied to a tweet of his once, and it made him feel like that you must be a really nice guy.
That was great, and I am a really nice guy. No, I'm kidding.
But he says, ask him to say something mean to reassure me that he hasn't changed on us.
Why don't you go read your X-Men comics, you idiots?
You got him?
I think I got him. Yeah,
yeah, great.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Mason, I'm going to recommend an X-Men book.
Okay.
Because I prepared for the show.
No, that's fair. You did.
I reread this week.
Uh-huh.
It's called the X-Men Magneto Testament. It's by Greg Pak and Carmine Di Giandomenico. It's from 2008. Mm-hmm. I should point out that this is not a pleasant read, this book. Okay? Mm-hmm. It's a good book,
right,
but it is not pleasant in any sense. It follows the persecutions committed against the Jewish people pre and during World War II, as well as gypsies, the gypsies at the time, and a bunch of other groups, and involves Magneto being, you know, kind of tormented at school,
right,
for being Jewish, and then that kind of flows over and eventually leads to him going into a concentration camp, and it's just horrific. Like, it's very... You're gonna sneeze?
No, I can hold it in.
Okay, cool. It's very unpleasant, but it's powerful reading.
Mm.
Let me say that.
Yeah.
Now Magneto, of course, his name in this is Max Eisenhart, which is his original name.
Hmm.
It's not so much it's not an X-Men or mutant story. It's a Holocaust story first and foremost.
Right.
With slight elements, like really small flickers of like mutant activity.
Uh-huh.
If you didn't know this is a Magneto book, there's a lot of things that you wouldn't assume.
Right.
Because there's not a lot of things that outright point to his powers being a thing. There's a few little things that hint at it. So I would say if you're looking for something with a little bit more depth that's not necessarily... that is not a fun read.
Right.
Then maybe
who's looking for a fun read these days, though? We've had enough of fun reads.
We've grown up, Mason.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Courtney Heck says... You remember Courtney Heck?
I remember Courtney Heck.
If you had to choose being a mutant that hasn't yet featured in a film, who would you choose?
Not
including Days of Future Past.
I'd like to see Forge.
What's he do?
He's got like... He's like an intuitive inventor.
Okay.
That's not very kind of... I guess it's not visually very flashy.
Yeah.
But he can, like, invent crazy technology. But he's got, like, a cyborg arm and leg and stuff like that. So that'd be fun to look at.
Cool.
I'd like to see some cyborgy stuff. Cable. I'd like to see Cable.
Sure.
Mm.
Cable's great.
But we've just done timeline, time travel stuff. So maybe we won't see another one very soon.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I've got here, I put Zorn. Is that how you say it?
Zorn. Well, Zorn's from New X-Men.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
Without spoiling who that is and what happens, he's a very interesting character.
Yes.
And people should read that.
Absolutely.
Yep. Thanks, Courtney. Pete Fault says, who would you be based on appearance personality-wise if you were cast in a comic book movie?
Well, we're jerks, so Statler and Waldorf from The Muppets? No, I don't know.
I don't know. Like, I've got here that I'm average in every sense, so, like...
But you've got a good heart.
Nah.
All right.
So, I'm, like, the most... I'm not handsome enough to be a lead kind of... hero, but I'm not a weird kind of ugly enough looking mutant man or whatever to be anything like that.
You'd be Beak.
Yeah, I guess so. So any maybe you're Bobby Drake.
Okay, yeah, yeah. Sure. Yeah, you got a nice beard going.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Yeah.
But that's probably it. You?
I'd be Chamber because the bottom of my face exploded off that time, so I'm missing my jaw.
Sure. Follow-up suggestion, he says that his friend suggested he would be Cyclops. And he's 6'5", this guy. I'll show you a picture.
Oh, I saw it earlier, it's all right.
Okay, cool. Yeah. Any thoughts? Do you think he could be anybody else?
It was a big dude. He could be a Colossus type.
Yep, that's what I thought.
That's solid work, yeah. 6'5".
Yeah, that's big.
It's very impressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a very nice email he sent. I really, really appreciate it. But he's also in that picture, he's holding a baby.
Mm-hmm. They're wearing matching Green Lantern shirts.
Green Lantern shirt, that's yeah. Right. Now, Ra's al Ghul, remember, the first official baby of comicbookmovie.com, uh-huh. Justin Hayden says that his baby was unhappy that we named another baby also the official baby of comicbookmovie.com.
Listen. Listen. There's no rules here about how many official babies we can have. All right?
All right.
Don't make us take your official baby status away, because there can be one less as well. If you want there to be only one official baby, we can make that happen, mate. All right?
He says Ra's al Ghul has proclaimed that they will be made an example of and serve as a warning to any other babies who might try to claim the title of official baby. There was nowhere to run. This is the real world, and there is no Batman to save you.
Wow.
So that baby's going to kill.
Super villain, yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, Justin. John Clayton says, least favorite X-Men character and why? His is Jubilee. That's valid.
I'm trying to think of really annoying ones.
I can go with one first.
Okay, go ahead.
Skin. Skin has a regular human skeletal structure, but he's grey and he has over 6 feet of extra skin, which is capable of stretching, deforming, wrapping, expanding, and do a bunch of stuff with it.
That's gross.
He's gross.
Yeah.
I know the X-Men are about being gross, and that's cool, but that's not cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You'd feel bad for being one of the ones that doesn't have great powers.
Yeah, you know? Like Beak.
Yeah, like Beak, exactly, yeah. Marrow.
What's he about?
She, I think.
Okay, but she about.
She could, like pull out, like, bone spines out of her body and throw them at people.
Wasn't there a character similar to that in X-Men 3?
Yes, probably, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, yeah. Also, one-inch spike guys.
Yes.
Guy, he's probably the worst one.
Yeah.
Any of those generic guys who have similar powers to somebody else, but not as good, and they're just cannon fodder.
Sure.
You don't want to be one of them.
Absolutely. Mm. Also, Mason.
Yes.
We got an email. Concerning Batman versus Predator.
Yes.
The latest podcast. One, I told you this earlier in the week, but I just wanted to quickly acknowledge this. Joe Lloyd Mason wrote in. He says he goes to a comic book artist school, and the guy who runs it is a guy by the name of Andy Kubert.
Kubert. It's the Kubert School. Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely, yeah.
So it's him and his dad who run the school and his brother. Is that right?
Joe Kubert, yeah.
Joe Kubert, yeah.
Joe's still around.
And he said if we give him a shout out, he's going to ask if he can draw a Batman Predator sketch for us and send it in.
Shout outs. Absolutely. Without doubt.
There are conditions, Mason.
Okay.
And I have to call Mason a pig. Okay. You're a pig.
Yeah. I know.
And stroke his hair for a bit too long. Do you want to do that after the show?
Let's do it after the show, okay. Yeah.
But take our word for it.
That's going to happen.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Thanks, Andy.
Yeah.
Not Andy. Well, thanks, Andy, also.
Yeah. If it could be, and I know.
And Joe.
I know, yeah, absolutely. I know, you know, any kind of request is a big request, and that would be, any kind would be an honor. But if it could be us two palling around with the alien and the predator.
Sure.
That would be great. That would be a fantastic sketch.
Playing maybe Marvel chess?
Oh, maybe play. Yeah, maybe playing chess, yeah.
Last email, Mason. Then we're going to leave it for today.
Okay.
Keith Raybould.
Yep.
B-O-U-L-D. He said, did you consider doing the Timverse movies? Because we did the DC animated movies.
I think we said
at the time, we do want to do those, but that's kind of a separate thing from the DC
animated. So you're like a Mask movies. Of the Phantasm.
Yeah.
The Return of Joker. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can get to those. Yeah.
I would love to. Yeah. I have to rewatch them.
I also have to rewatch them.
But no, definitely. Mm-hmm. And also, can you get a shout out to his long-suffering partner, Mandy, who he's going to marry on Friday.
What?
I know, right? After 14 years.
Wait, this Friday or last Friday?
Maybe last Friday.
Congratulations. Shout out, Mandy. You did it, guys.
Yeah,
or you're
awesome.
Going to do it. That is the best.
Yeah. She comes to all the comic book movies with me, although the trade-off is that he suffered through Twilight. Is that equal?
No, but you have to have bad times to enjoy the good times, you know?
That's a really good point. Mm. Is that a song?
Yeah.
That you're going to write?
Yeah.
Good.
And he also says, thanks for recommending Robocop Terminator, the most random comic book of all time.
It's great, right?
So that's on you, Mason.
Thank
Good
you.
Work. That's you're it, welcome. Mason.
Wow, we did it again.
Yep. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk for the themes.
Absolutely.
We really love those themes and we love you guys.
Yeah. I just imagine them battling it out.
Yeah.
Maybe on a mountaintop.
Giant snake and a monster. And yep. like a rock monster, maybe?
Probably a rock monster, yeah.
Cool. If you want to contact the show, you can at weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com, Facebook, Twitter. You can find me on Mr. Sunday Movies on Twitter and YouTube now, same name.
Ooh.
And you can find Mason...
At Wikipedia Brown on the Twitter.
That's two ats.
Yeah, at.
So, yeah, next week, X-Men Days of Future Past. If you have opinions of it, please email them in and maybe we can include some in the show.
I'd love to hear about that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
It's tracking pretty well at the moment. I think it's.
I love this online discussion we've got going on.
Me too.
I love it. It's good.
As I said, though, to you before, it does make me feel really bad that I can't include everything all the time.
Mm.
I try to do Mason, but life is a series of challenges.
And failures, as we've evidenced right now. Yeah, that's going to be good.
It will
I can't
be.
Wait to talk about it.
Me too.
Talking about it.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you, bye.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market. Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.